Here's an oldie but a goodie from the archives, from the Side Hustle Show Greatest Hits Collection. Plus, stick around for the Where Are They Now time travel segment to get the real-time update from Liz. $500,000 from a $9 membership. What's up, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. Killer story for you today. My guest went from blogger to freelance copywriter to running a multi-six-figure membership, starting without a huge audience and without a huge price tag. Stick around in this one. We're talking about how to come up with ideas for your own recurring revenue membership, how to find your first customers, and how to grow this thing so it replaces the day job and then some. She is super prolific and lots of mutual friends, but our paths have not crossed until today. So I'm excited for this one. From LizWilcox.com, the fresh princess of email, and season 46 of Survivor. Did not see that coming. Liz Wilcox, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Oh my gosh, Nick, I feel like I finally made it in life. I am on the Side Hustle Show and I am ready to rip.
Well, I'm flattered by that. Thanks so much for tuning in and helping spread the word over the years. This membership, this $9 email marketing template membership, has an interesting origin story because it's like almost the opposite of what you'd expect. So you ended up booking 20 grand worth of freelance copywriting work. And instead of being elated, like, dang, that's a big project. That's like multi-five-figure payday. But the feeling isn't quite what you'd expect.
Yeah, the feeling was, oh no. Now I have to deliver on $20,000 worth of work. And that felt like a huge responsibility. And I don't know about you listening, but I had enough responsibilities in my life, right? Like maybe you've got a 9-to-5. I was a single mom. I wanted to have a life. I just had a lot going on at that time in my life. While, yeah, it felt like, okay, I'm going to be able to pay the bills for X amount of months. I support my mom financially. That was going to be set, not a worry.
Yeah.
But it was that weight of, well, now I've got $20,000 worth of work to do. That felt so, I don't know, how did the Gen Zers say, like cringe?
In my mind, it's like kind of every step of the way as a freelancer is like, oh, who am I to charge $100 for this? Who am I to charge $1,000 for this? Who am I to charge $10,000 for this? And you kind of have to battle that imposter syndrome every step of the way. But for whatever reason, this was the one that was like, oh, I don't know, this is a big burden.
Yeah, for me, the imposter syndrome only happened after the sale. It was like, yeah, of course I'm the one. Like, Look at me. Look at my credentials. But then when the contract was signed, the deposit hit the bank account, it was like, oh, now I have to do this thing. Now I have to step into who I said I was on top of all the other things I already am in my life. And it just felt really like too much.
Okay. So there's trading time for money and there's trading time for a lot of money, but there's still this sense of like, how do I get out of this? Like I'm trying to build something with a little bit more time leverage.
Yeah. Amen. And that's when I came up with my membership. For me, I was sitting down, $20,000 contract, but then I also was starting this email list over here. And this was full of beginners who it's going to take them a really long time to have the money to hire me for a $20,000 contract. And also like this $20,000 was 20,000 hours in my mind. It might as well have been, right? And I just wanted a way to get out of those contracts. I knew it was going to take me a while, but I wanted this way to, like Nick just said, to create more freedom of time, to be able to enjoy my kid, enjoy living on the beach, enjoy being newly single at the time. And this contract over here was not it. That was going to, so to speak, like chain me to my desk, right? I was going to have to get up early in the morning. I was going to have to work late at night. I was going to have to really grow as a productive person. And I thought, well, what if I just came up with something else? What if instead of having to keep signing these contracts, because one day that contract's going to be over, that money's going to be gone, and I'm going to have to do this all over again. And I'm nothing if not an efficient chick. Like I always say, if it takes more than two steps, I'm out of here. So it was like, what can I create that's really simple and that eventually, emphasis on eventually, I didn't need the money right then. I just signed $20,000 that eventually is going to get me out of this client work. And that's when the light bulb went off and I thought, membership, monthly recurring revenue. What is sexier than that, baby?
That's the dream, right? I was talking about this at a recent mastermind event of mine, where it's like, even though the revenue in the business has been super predictable over the last several years, we're starting from scratch every single month. Like, you know, we got to go and earn it. And it's not freelance work. It's not feast or famine and roller coaster of generating leads and delivering that work and then go hunt for more business. But it is. And so like, this is something that I'm looking at, trying to figure out the right way to set it up. That's one of the reasons for this call, like a little bit of selfish coaching here.
I love it. So for me, it was my day rate. So, you know, if you book me for one day, it was $2,000. And so I sat down and I did a little bit of math of, to Nick's point of, I don't want to have to start over and over every single month. So what kind of membership can I create and how many people do I need in it to get me to that day rate? Like if I could just book myself with the membership sales one day a week or one day a month, one day a week, the whole calendar, right? Like future pacing myself. And I got really excited. I said, you know, I could do a low cost thing because I've got time. I've got this $20,000. I know I can do client work. And I know I could probably do it for a couple more years. I'm going to go low cost because again, that's low responsibility. I have a bunch of responsibility in my home life. I have a bunch of responsibility with my clients. What if I could create for my email list like this really low responsibility thing and just slowly build it up? And I said, okay, if I can get 100 members at $9, that's $900 a month. That's nearly half a day of my day rate. That sounds doable. So I did it in like a bite-sized chunk. That sounds doable. And then within 2 years, if I could get 1,000 people in at $9, that would be $9,000 a month. Recurring revenue, the way it blew my mind. Unlike you, maybe you're listening and you have a 9-to-5. Y'all, I've never had a job before. Like my last job was at a gas station when I was like 20 years old. And so I've always, like Nick said, every month I'm always starting over. And I've been doing that my whole life.
Yeah, like the mental toll that that can take is, yeah, it can be stressful.
It's so stressful. And so I said, hey, I could do a couple more years of this low cost thing, this low responsibility thing. And after a couple years, if I could just remove the client work, I know in 2 years, I'm going to come up with other ideas, other courses, workshops, whatever. But if I could in 2 years remove client work, wow. So I was really willing to be patient. I didn't need the money right then, but I was willing to be patient and wait 2 years for the payoff. And guess what? It definitely paid off.
Yeah, it sounds like it's working just fine. I want to hit on this low cost equals low responsibility, because I think that's an interesting distinction. And we'll get into the numbers behind that. Because, okay, I got to sell 100 members at $9. First of all, where am I going to find 100 people to pay me? It's like, you know, going from zero to $1. I think is more difficult than going from $1 to $100. It's like, well, if I charged $100, I'd only need 10 members to get to $1,000. It's like, it seems almost harder, even though it's like low ticket, it seems almost harder to go out and find that many people and convince them to pull out their credit cards.
I love that Nick just said this because it just shows you like you should create something that makes sense for your brain, because I wholly disagree with what Nick is saying. And not in a negative way, but like to me, I can get just about anybody to give me $9. I disagree with Nick. I think it's actually pretty simple to go out and find 100 people. For my personality, it's actually pretty easy for me to be out and to sell people. And I knew that about Liz Wilcox. I knew that I was already building this email list on the side. That was my side hustle to the client work, right?
Yeah, nice, nice.
I knew I had about 800 people on my email list. And I teach email marketing. I'm like, if I can't get 100 out of 800, if I can't get 1/8, like who am I to teach this for $9? So for me, it different than Nick's thinking was like, yeah, sure, I can get 100 people. I can build buzz.
1 out of 8 doesn't sound like a lot, but in terms of
traditional email marketing, what's like a 12.5% conversion or something, like it's pretty significant. But I love this attitude going in, like, hey, this
yeah, is, that's this a is, whole nother show about conversions.
It's like the old, you know, joke about, well, Google SEO company and whoever shows up at the top, that's the one you ought to hire. It's like, you know, I ought to be able to sell these people is what I do.
Amen.
I like this. So what do people
thank you
get for the $9? Like, what's behind the paywall?
Yeah. So speaking of bringing it back to that low responsibility was also like staying in my zone of genius. I knew I was good at email marketing and I knew that most people aren't. Like Nick mentioned, 12.5% is outrageous. My email list is 55% customers right now. So to me, it's like 12.5%, whatever. So for me, I knew that was my zone of genius.
That's incredible.
Thank you. So for me, I knew I was really good at it. And I knew the missing piece for people is a weekly newsletter, just following up with their subscribers every week. That's something, you're a side hustler. You're just working a few hours a night on this project. Like sending an email, is that really what you need to be doing with your time? So I knew if I could just write that newsletter for you, maybe you'd give it a shot and you would see results like mine. So within the membership, you just get a weekly newsletter template to take and make your own. That was low responsibility for me because in my client work, that's what I was already doing. I was writing emails for people. I had owned two businesses prior, writing emails to people. I had an entire catalog of emails that I had been writing for years and years and years. I can just have this one deliverable of this thing I already have a back catalog of that I can templatize and I can send out once a week. Yeah, I can commit to that for the payoff in 2 years. I'm going to be able to retire client work over here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Liz, let's try it out.
Okay. And this is delivered through email, I'm guessing. Like, here's your template for the week. Fill in the blanks to make it applicable to your business.
Listen, we are now in our third year of email marketing membership and it's got a login process. But when we started, y'all, it was a Google Drive. It was a link to a Google document. And that is how I delivered it. Like we're talking low responsibility.
Yeah. Start with where you're at. I remember we had somebody who was selling, I feel like they sold like $8,000 or something worth of pre-sales from a Google Docs sales page. Like, look, didn't have to be fancy. Like, here, this is what's going to be. It doesn't exist yet, but take a chance, roll the dice, click here, it links to my PayPal or something. It's like, fantastic. Okay. So people get this weekly newsletter template, and I probably at this point, like access to the last 3 years worth of templates at this point. Is that something that is included?
Correct. Nowadays, you get access to everything, and I'm still churning out the content, baby.
Okay. No courses, no community, no coaching, you know, the other C's of a membership business included?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I first started, it was just that template. And after a year, I had 1,000 members. So it didn't take me 2 years. It took me about a year. And that's when I opened up that community. That's when I opened up a Facebook group. And let me tell you, like, if you're thinking of a membership, wait until you've got a good, solid group, because even to this day, that community runs itself. I'm in there on Mondays and I'm in there on Fridays. My assistant, she tends to look at it to make sure nobody's arguing. We've never had a fight and there's almost 5,000 people in that group now. It essentially runs itself. But when you're first starting, I think to Nick's point about no community, none of this other content, that tends to really dilute what you're trying to do and dilute people actually taking action on what you're trying to do. And I just wanted you to send the newsletter. So I was like, no, you're not getting community. No, you're not getting anything else. Just do this thing. Then we can talk. Nowadays, I do have more because there's more people and they want to interact, but that was never part of the plan.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Super simple offer. Here's what it is. Here's what you get. Here's how much it costs. And let's go to work. More with Liz in just a moment, including how she built and continues to build her own email list and audience and the specific subject line of her IMO, her initial membership offering, right after this. Now, this is going to be probably like asking a musician, like, how you keep coming up with new songs. Do you worry about like running out of temp? Like, do you exhaust the template database in your head at a certain point? And just like, I guess you could probably start recycling, and I don't know how many people would notice, but like, to come up with something new every week is like probably low commitment for you, but sounds somewhat daunting for somebody who's not in that space.
Yeah, a lot of people, like, how do you keep coming up with ideas? And I think to Nick's point, like, I don't know, how many albums did Kiss have, right? Like, how do you, you know, like, some of it's similar, but it's all, you know, feels fresh and different. And it's just that same thing. I think what's relevant for today, what's the energy of this month? What am I seeing in the group that sparks an idea? I have like a running Google Doc of, I read this, I thought that would be a good email or something like that. The genius thing about email marketing is it really just comes down to three things: showing you're invested in your reader, becoming relatable to that reader, and staying top of mind to your reader. So there's infinite possibilities to write to them, to show how invested you are, to relate to them. Just doing it weekly helps you stay top of mind. So I don't think I'll ever run out of ideas. And it's actually helped me become a more disciplined person, I feel like. Like, this has to go out, Liz. This is how you buy groceries. Sit down and write, and the muse will come.
That's fair. That was something I was legit worried about when starting the podcast. Like, I'm going to run out of people to talk to. I'm going to run out of ideas. And now, almost 11 years later, this is episode 600. It's like, there's always new stuff coming across my desk. And I just love it because it just sparks so much creativity and inspiration to hear what everybody else is doing. If somebody else is sitting on the sideline, like, this kind of unique, call it like selling your sawdust as a freelancer. Like, I was coming up with these templates. I was coming up with these emails anyway. I could templatize that and sell it instead of one-to-one, sell it one-to-many. Really cool. If you're coaching somebody else to start their own recurring revenue business or their own membership model, where do you think they ought to look for that similar spark of inspiration?
I think the number one thing outside of what Nick said, I love what he said, sell your sawdust. I'm already doing this over here. How can I turn this into a one-to-many situation? Outside of that is like thinking about the many. Who are we selling this to? And what do they actually need? For me, I just knew the membership was going to work because I knew my number one or the number one issue for my potential customers was writing that newsletter. And I also knew that no one else was selling that. Within my industry, everyone is selling sales, right? Here's your sales copy. Here's your launch emails. Here's your sales page template.
Okay.
Because that's what money makes money, right?
Yeah.
Nobody was really talking to the people that just needed, like, I launched and it flopped. What happened? It was like, oh, well, then you have to hire me to look inside your business. And that's even more expensive. When really I already knew the answer. You're not sending weekly newsletters that show how you're invested and make you relatable. I already knew that. When you're thinking about your own membership, it's like, what do you know about your ideal customer? And maybe what is nobody else selling? So those are kind of like a double whammy that I knew my membership was going to be successful. And if you can come up with something like that too, it's over for everybody else.
Yeah. And I think like this is probably from like 80-20 sales and marketing. You think about, you know, the different pricing tiers. You have the do-it-yourselfer at the low ticket, and then maybe the done with you at the medium price, and then the full on like done for you, the $20,000 package at the top end, and like serving a different audience at each different level. And we had like Colin from Blackjack Apprenticeship, and you know, I think he had like a $3 app, and he had like a $300 video course membership thing, you know, on how to learn how to count cards and do blackjack. And then for like many, many thousands of dollars, like, come hang out with me in Vegas for a weekend and we'll just do it like live and in person. Like, thinking of different pricing tiers is something that's coming to mind as you're kind of describing this. But I want to go back to these first 100 members, like this email list of 800 people. How did they find you? How did you initially connect with them? I think smart to be building that personal brand and building that awareness and email list on the side from the client work. But 800 people doesn't happen by accident. So let's talk about that.
I always say like list building, building your list, and visibility are like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Like, I know they're different, but I can't tell them apart. So the more visible you become, right? And this is the same in client work. The more visible you become, the more referrals you're going to get, right? The more people are going to reach out to you. It's the same with list building. just get visible. Of course, I tend to get on a lot of podcasts. I'm pretty sure I'm at like the 300 mark of podcast interviews. I do a lot of private trainings. I've done two today. And so I'm constantly just trying to get my name out there. And remember what I said about, yeah, well, it's kind of easy for me to sell because I'm always putting myself out there. So that's how I did it. Of course, how you do it might be differently. Some people are into guest blogging or just going to in-person events and networking there. You have to be your own hype man. No one is going to grow your email list for you. You have to get out there, get visible, and grow the list yourself.
So is that a typical funnel or flow early on? Like, hey, I'm going to guest on this podcast. I'm going to come on. I'm going to be the expert on email marketing. If you want to learn more, come join the list at LizWilcox.com. Like thinking years ahead in this case, like for this eventual thing, like just trying to build up that initial following.
Yeah. I like what Nick said, thinking years ahead, right? Today, if I was just thinking about today or this week or this month, I would still be doing client work, right? But I'm thinking about Liz Wilcox in the future. What does she need? Well, she needs an email list so that she can stop doing client work, right? So I started it first and foremost. And yeah, the typical flow is I get on someone else's platform. Again, I'm nothing if not efficient. Again, I have a lot of responsibility outside of the side hustle. And so what's the most efficient way? It's not to have my own podcast. Like Nick will tell you, you got to have an editor or you got to figure out how your mic works. You got to figure out Riverside and Apple and all this other thing. That's not a very efficient way to grow. Said with love. Shout out to your 600 episodes. I think that's amazing.
Hashtag true story for sure.
But when I end the podcast, what I do, I just hit that leave button. And then Nick takes the rest over, right?
Your work is over, yeah.
Right. And then when the podcast airs, I just hit the share button. I share to my Instagram stories, my Facebook group, my email list, right? It's simple for me. I don't have to do all the technical stuff. And so, yeah, the typical flow is get on the podcast. Hopefully, don't sound like an idiot. Sound like I know what I'm talking about. And then, oh, by the way, join my email list. You'll get A, B, C, D, E, F, G. In this case, you get a welcome sequence, some newsletter templates, imagine that, and some subject lines. So it works pretty well.
Okay. Let's talk about that initial offer, like pitching to this email list for the first time. Like, hey, I'm thinking of creating this thing, or I did create this thing. It's $9. Come sign up. How was that presented?
Yeah. So it was the subject line, can I have $9? It goes back to like, yeah, of course I'm just going to ask. Okay. It's simple. Let it be a lesson. Maybe you're driving or doing the dishes right now, and you can't write it down, but commit to memory. We overcomplicate things. Like just keep it simple. So subject line, can I have $9? And I literally wrote something like, hey, I've had this idea to create this membership with weekly newsletter templates. I know the number one problem I see with my clients when they launch and it doesn't do well is they're not sending weekly newsletter templates. Maybe you've had a similar experience. I'm going to send you a newsletter template every single week. It's $9. I know that sounds cheap, but these templates are going to be awesome. If you've been on my email list for a while, you know my stuff is awesome. So why not join? Can I have $9? And this is the kicker. I told people I want to get 100 people in the next 30 days.
Okay.
That was my way of saying like, I'm serious about this. And then I signed off.
Some level of like public accountability. We're going to be transparent with the number of members. Like, hey, you're assigned a member number. Like I went to REI. This
sounds like a prison.
Like, well, hey, you're member number 43 or whatever. Like, oh, cool. You know, I'm a founding member. I was in the first 100 because I went to REI. This was like in high school. They're like, okay, well, it's your member number. Like, I don't know. Look it up under Loper. And they found me, but they also found my grandpa who had been, you know, and his member number was like in the four digits or something. Like it was like one of these like early members. So I imagine there's like a point of pride of like, oh, I was there at the beginning. Like I remember when this thing was just getting started. Okay. So
I love that. I'm going to steal that idea for member numbers. I like it now.
How long does it take to get to 100 members?
It took me 28 days. We launched February 16th, 2021. And I forgot that February is only 28 days. So I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get 100 today. Today's the 30th day. And so I was like, push, push, push. I sent like two or three emails, I think, that day. We hit the 100. And then I realized I had two more days. And I thought, well, we made it. Nothing wrong with a sprint to the finish.
Yes, under the deadline.
Yeah. So it felt really good. And I did that, like Nick said, for that public accountability, but also so that I could take myself seriously, right? Like, it wasn't this idea and it's like, oh, well, I only made three sales and, well, you know, Liz, just keep grinding. Just get back to client work. This isn't working. It was like, nope, I'm going to commit. And it helped me, like Nick said, like stay accountable. And then the second reason, and let this just be a little note to you, if you ever launch your own digital product, it's hype, right? Like, I'm really good at hyping people up. So it was, oh my gosh, this lady's getting 100 members. Like, this must be a serious thing. I need to take a look. It's the same way when Adidas partners with Beyonce, they're sending clothes to other celebrities to post on their Instagram. They're hyping it up before the clothes ever hit stores, right? It's that exact same thing. We're going to get 100 people in 30 days. Oh, snap, 100 people. I want to be, like Nick said, like, I want to be one of those first 100. That's a big deal. Like, she's doing something over here. Let's get inside. Let's invest. This is exciting.
Well, some level of social proof involved. Well, it's like, well, shoot, if 99 other people are doing it, I guess, what am I missing here? I better get on in. More with Liz in just a moment, including how she tapped into her existing member base to drive growth and how she eventually sold $48,000 worth of memberships in 48 hours. Right after this. All right. So you get your 100 members in 28 days. And then what happens after that? Now you have to play this kind of dual game. Well, I still got to do my client work. Now I got to deliver what I promised to these people. And I would really like to make that 200, 300, 500 members, 1,000 members. And so I got to continue to kind of add new people into my world at the very top of the funnel. Let's see what happens next.
Yeah. To be honest, I had to deliver on that $20,000 of client work.
Yeah.
So I was doing that and I was maintaining those 100 people, delivering on that weekly content in order to get that done. What I would do, and this is not for everyone. Again, this is like having to be incredibly disciplined. I actually got up at 4 a.m. every single day and I would do a few hours of client work to ensure that I got it done. Because also the membership was exciting. People were wanting to talk to me about it. People were like, oh my gosh, 100 members in 30 days. What is it? So it was starting to kind of grow in its own like very like super niche, small, tight-knit community that I was in. It did grow, not very rapidly, but I think within the first like 3 months while I was still working on client work, it like 2.5x, it had like 250 members in the first 90 days.
Yeah.
And so it really was growing. So I did have to be disciplined to finish my work. But once those contracts were done, that's when the magic really happened. I had a few, that's when I started focusing on my VIP days so I could just work one day and get it over with. And I knew I had something with this membership. I knew that maybe this isn't going to take 2 years. So I buckled down. I actually opened up affiliates. So this is where somebody sells your thing, you give them a certain percentage. And I said, I'm going to give you 50% of the sale. I know it's only $9, but this thing is unlike any other offer on the market. And who wouldn't like $4.50 every single month? You sell two people into the membership, you get your membership for free, basically. So I opened up affiliates and within 3 months of opening up of affiliates, so the membership will say is about 7 months, we had about 700 people in the membership. So it really started growing. People were very excited to share and actually very excited about the $4.50.
Interesting. So yeah, because it's like, oh, it's a low ticket, but it's recurring. And you can see how
it is
starts,
recurring.
You see how it starts to stack up. So opening that initially to the existing member base. Hey, can I incentivize you to share with a friend? Like, how do I turn one member into two? I love this. And we had Tiffany Alice from the Budget Nista on years and years ago. And that was like, you know, she was doing like the 30-day Live Richer challenge. Day one, find an accountability partner. Like, boom, you just double their enrollments. This is cool. So kind of like leveraging the people who already know, like, and trust you to help evangelize, to help go out and spread the word. Now, mechanically, what's the software that's tracking the referrals?
I used SamCart, and now I use ThriveCart, which is cheaper.
Okay, ThriveCart is like one-off fee versus...
Yeah, it's a one-time fee. And so after I think about a year of using SamCart, which was $200 a month, okay, my bookkeeper and my assistant finally convinced me to move to ThriveCart. So I'm saving a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay, so the affiliates start rocking, still doing the podcast guest circuit. Anything else on the marketing side?
So around Black Friday, the membership was 9 months old, and I had about 800 members, we'll say, and I decided to do something really wild. I was worried about the next year. You know, I'm going 9 months. Can I go? What happens at a year? Like, am I going to give up? Is everybody going to realize I'm an idiot? The imposter syndrome finally caught up to me. Usually, again, that's a recurring thing. It doesn't usually catch up for a while. And I thought also, like, how can I commit to this even more? How can I show people I'm committed? And how can I commit next year so I don't get distracted? Because I'm a creative person, but I knew this was a gold mine and I needed to stay committed to it. So again, that public accountability. So I wrote my email list of customers, the people inside the membership, and I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing where you sign up for a year of the membership, so you don't have to pay monthly anymore. And when you sign up for a year, you get access to all my other products for free. Because at this point, I was doing one-off workshops. I was creating other content. $9, that doesn't get you much when you've only got a couple hundred people, right?
Okay.
So I got a bunch of emails back. Liz, that's crazy. You're not going to make any money next year. Dot, dot, dot. But if you sell it, I'll buy it. And that's when I knew, right?
Because you're like pulling forward all this revenue. Like you're going to have a big spike, but then the recurring revenue like dries up. That's, am I interpreting what your fear is here?
Right. Yeah. Okay. I was wondering, oh, are people going to start at a year? These founding members, are they going to start dropping off? Am I going to have time next year to promote? Like Nick said at the top of the hour, like, am I going to have to start from zero again? Like, when is this stack of cards going to fall down? And how can I pull forward that money, right? Yeah. And that commitment of customers. So that was my idea. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not actually going to lose money the way these people think, because I'm doing what Nick said. I'm on this podcast circuit, right? I'm continuously growing and I've only got 800 people. There's like a billion people on the internet. Surely I can find 800 more next year.
For sure.
Like surely I can figure it out. On Cyber Saturday, I wrote an email. I said, I'm only selling 100 of these because I didn't know if people would actually buy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I need a little scarcity. And also there was that fear of, oh, what if I do not find anyone next year? Like, I don't want to sell too many. Maybe they're right. So I said, I'm only selling 100. Here's the offer. Get in for the year. I made the 100 sales in 2 hours. I had to turn the sales page off. That's $12,000. The offer was $108. There was no discount because I was giving away all my other products for free. 9 times 12 is 108.
Is it just like other like digital courses or something that you had created?
Correct. Like a lot of workshops, little mini courses. And the kicker was anything I created within that year, you would also get for free.
Oh, cool.
So that was another way to get them excited and keep me accountable for creating content over just chasing clients. So it worked really well. I opened it up again a few weeks later because people were like, whoa, especially my affiliates. Whoa, oh my gosh, can we share this? What? Like, what? This came out of nowhere. And a few weeks later, we sold 225 over 5 days. My email list was only at about 1,200 people at the time. So in those 3 weeks, we made about $37,000. And I waved goodbye to $20,000 contracts. And that was December 2021. And I haven't taken a client since that day.
All right. Congrats. It's like a burden off your shoulders. I can feel it.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any annual pricing today or is like, just sign up for this recurring charge?
So after that, I did it 3 times a year in 2022 and 2023. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. In 2023, we had two separate six-figure launches just from that $108 offer. So over 1,000 people in March and November purchased that offer.
Okay.
And then we did a 48-hour flash sale in July in 2023 that made $1,000 an hour. It was 48 hours and it made over $48,000. Wow. But I've done something crazy, Nick. I've cut that offer out in 2024 and it's only going to be available on Black Friday this year. So I don't know why I did that. It was a gut feeling. I don't feel bad about it. I feel slightly nervous, but something in my gut told me, Liz, you've got to offer this just once a year right now. So what I'm doing in 2024 is restructuring the membership to make it easier to use now that we have a lot of content. Yeah. I'm focusing in on I call them the annual pass holders. Those are the people that are bought in for the year. And I'm actually doing live rounds of the content that they're getting for free. So I'm doing 5 live rounds of the 5 most essential things that they have for free. And it's going really well so far. I'm seeing incredible engagement. We did a live welcome sequence workshop with over 3,000 people registered. Over 400 people attended live and over 300 people submitted homework for feedback. So I'm just finding in 2024, my gut was right. The trend, I think, right now is real connection. And I'm making real connections with my audience again. And I think that's going to get me to my goal of 10,000 members.
Ooh, it's a big goal by the end of the year.
By the end of the year, I have about 4,500 right now. So it's a long shot, but that's my motto, really.
Well, we'll send a few more your way following this episode. I think this is such a crazy story. Like the pricing psychologist in me is saying, oh, it's $9 a month or it's $100 a year. Like there's different, like you could almost kind of persuade people to prepay for 6 months or two because it's such low ticket, like, or, you know, just prepay for the annual thing. And that's like what a SaaS company would do. It's interesting. That's what I was curious about. Like, well, the annual plan is sometimes it's available, sometimes it's not. And this year it's mostly not. One thing that we have kind of neglected to mention, like my assumption is the target audience is bloggers, content creators, digital course people. Like, is that who you're primarily speaking to?
Actually, I talk to a lot of different people. I have a nun in my membership. I have like a real estate agent in my membership. I have SaaS companies in my membership. I don't know what it is about Liz Wilcox that people just want to learn from. So I don't discriminate. Of course, I personally come from a content creator background. I was a blogger, like Nick mentioned. I think why I can help so many different people is it's the business to consumer. So a lot of the email marketing help out there is very like B2B. Like everyone's talking to business owners who talk to business owners. And my membership is very different than that. It's businesses talking directly to consumers.
Okay.
And like I mentioned within the templates, you get 2 samples and those samples are written from different business perspectives. So one might be written from a YouTube creator and the next one might be written from a children's author, something like that. And so you really get a very, I don't know, bird's eye view of what the template is really doing and how it can work for you. So I actually help hundreds of businesses. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful. Like a little bit broader than I maybe initially imagined. And I imagine if people get into the habit of using this thing, then they're likely to stick around. Like, can you speak to the churn? What percentage of people drop off every month? Or like people are kind of in it for the long haul. Cause they're like, well, as long as I want to have this content creator business, or as long as this business needs to send a newsletter, like this is super helpful for me.
My churn is much higher than I'd like it to be right now. I just did the math a few days ago and the churn hovers in and around 10%. So the last few months, either it was like 9% or 12% or 8%. And I think 10% is about normal. But again, I don't really care to be normal. You can Google me. You can see that.
Yeah, if you can convert 55% of your email list, that's definitely not normal.
The first 2 years of the membership, the churn rate was around 3%. It was incredibly low. It was like Nick said, I'm in it to win it. This is going to help me. This is a great resource. But I found that the bigger I grow, this is an interesting like experiment. I guess I'm living live. The bigger that I grow, the bigger my reputation gets. Like, oh, I've heard about Liz Wilcox. The higher the churn rate gets. Because I think my really loyal, those founding members, et cetera, those first 1,000, like Nick said, are pretty much still there.
Yeah.
And they love the membership and they love Liz Wilcox so much that it's an incredible reputation I've built, which is amazing. But when they get into the membership, it's like, oh, this is it. So I'm actually restructuring the membership right now. In a couple weeks from the time of this recording, I'm launching an entire new membership site. I've redone the two like foundational courses that you get with the membership. I've turned them from like 1-hour trainings into mini courses. I woke up at 4 o'clock. I work best in the morning, guys. It's not for everybody. I got up at 4 o'clock and I wrote 5,000 words before 8 a.m. That's just a help hub to literally answer pretty much any question I've ever gotten in the last 3 years, whether you're a beginner, you're somewhere in the middle, or you're, hey, Liz, I got email. I just hate coming up with ideas. The membership is about to be totally restructured, and maybe we'll have to do a follow-up episode to see what my churn looks like in 6 months. But I've really worked hard. I've hunkered down. This is another reason I was like, I can't focus on these big launches. I need to focus on who's inside my membership right now and help them and worry about the rest later. And so I've worked very hard to decrease that churn, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because if you're losing 10% every month, well, now I got to go find 400, you know, I got to find more than 400 new members to replace them if I want to keep growing this thing.
Yeah, we lost close to 1,000 people last year. So you think I have 4,500 right now? I could have had 5,500. That's $9,000 a month I'm missing, right? Like that was my original dream. But I mean, it's a good problem to have. And it's, like I said, it's an interesting kind of experiment I feel like I'm living in of like, the more shows Liz gets on, the bigger her reputation gets. Actually, the colder the audience, I guess, the more tight the membership has to be, the more, I don't know, like professional it has to be, which if you look at Liz Wilcox, you think, oh, she's only semi-pro. And that's kind of what I've built a brand on, is being semi-pro. Like, hey, if I can do it, certainly you can do something else too.
Well, it's pro in like your own like very unique way. Like all the website copy, like all of the images and the language, like it stands out as being different. And if that doesn't appeal to you, then yeah, then this is probably not going to be a fit. But for the people who it does resonate with, they're like, all right, this makes a lot of sense. What's a day in the life look like today?
Today, I tend to only work about 5 hours a day. I take my daughter to school. I'm a single parent. So, you know, I do all that stuff by myself. And so I turn the computer on around 9 a.m. and I turn it off around 2 p.m. I have a lot of food allergies. So I take a 1-hour lunch. Not because some guy on the internet told me that's important to rest. I actually have to cook all my meals, and it normally takes about 30 minutes to cook and 30 minutes to eat. So I'm really only working about 4 hours a day. And of course, right now I'm working a lot more because we're restructuring the membership. We're launching a new website on the 3rd birthday of the membership. So we got a lot of going on, but it's really, really fun. At this point in the game, I'm really only doing the things that I want to do, and I'm really just talking to the people I want to talk to and helping them. And that's what feels so good. And that's what makes me so grateful for that Liz Wilcox in the past that said, you know what, this $20,000, like, yeah, that feels good in this capacity, but really it feels like a lot of responsibility. And I'm so glad I leaned into, yes, go with the monthly recurring revenue. Get up a little early so you can do both at the same time. Yes, keep pushing. And I mean, I couldn't do that if I hadn't done that. So it feels really good.
That's really cool. It must feel like you just have won the game to be able to get up and work on the stuff that you want to work on and serve the people that you want to serve, and thanking your past self for making those investments in content and community and all the things that led to this. There was a line from Brian Geeran on the show, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it was like, the entrepreneur's job is to live a year in the future and try and set things up today to get to where you want to go. And that's something that has stood out to me, a coach of mine recently. So like, if you don't see yourself doing this 3 years from now, why are you doing it today? You know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, figure out a way to start to peel back those responsibilities. But what's next? We're going to 1,000 members. What's the future hold for this membership and for Liz Wilcox?
So for the membership, I'm trying to get to 10,000 by, you know,
10,000. 10,000.
10,000. 10,000. That feels, I don't know, there's just something about that.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And that's almost, now we're starting to get into like, well, shoot, this is like, I mean, Netflix is a huge business, but it's like, okay, low price point, low-ish churn, and can reach a huge segment of the population.
Yeah, I love that Nick just brought up Netflix, because that was my inspiration to start. I said, well, Netflix was only like $7 when it started, and it had a lot of overhead costs, and I don't, and I will never need Netflix type numbers. Maybe I just need 1,000. And now the 10,000 is about showing people what is possible. It's not about, oh, 10,000, I'm awesome, and that's going to get me on this show and that show. It's about who I'm talking to. Again, going back to who you're serving. And to me, showing people that you can have a $1 million membership without running ads, without any kind of crazy client work on the backside or whatever, is so important to me right now. I know I'm going to hit that 10,000 because I want to show my people that it's possible. And that's what's next for Liz Wilcox and email marketing membership.
We're pulling for you. 10,000, $1 million membership. Yeah, we will have to do the follow-up because I think that sounds really cool. LizWilcox.com. That's where you can find her. There's a big pink button to get yourself signed up. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
The next time you're feeling really overwhelmed, just ask yourself two questions. Number one, what would this look like if it was really easy? And if you're like me and you live in the real world, a lot of things aren't really easy. So give yourself a follow-up question. What would this look like if it was fun? And between the two, I think you'll come up with your next right step.
Very good. What would it look like if it were easy? Some inspiration from Tim Ferriss on that one. And what would it look like if it was fun? The last thing we need is a side hustle or a second job that we come to dread doing. It's got to be fun. It's got to be exciting. It's got to be interesting, whatever sparks your curiosity. A couple notes before we wrap here. Number one for me was, you want recurring revenue, you got to solve a recurring problem. Hey, there's always another Thursday coming around. I got to figure out how to send out this newsletter. That's kind of like my next project after we come up. You got to send out this newsletter, got to be consistent with it. And lots of other people in that same boat. Hey, we're already paying for our email software. If you're not using it, you're just making a donation to ActiveCampaign, ConvertKit, whoever it is. So recurring revenue, got to solve a recurring problem. Love the idea of selling your sawdust. Hey, I'm an expert in this. I was doing this for clients. How can I go from one-to-one to one-to-many? Like, hopefully that sparks a little bit of creativity or inspiration for you to potentially set up something similar. And then if you're going to convert 55% of your email list, it's going to have to be a no-brainer offer. Like, this one was something that clearly resonated really well. It hit this blue ocean. Hey, nobody else is doing this, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it at a low price point, and we're going to make it a no-brainer for you. Where if you're using it correctly, you're going to have a tremendous ROI on this. Because, you know, whatever the stat is, you probably know it better than me. Like, whatever, every dollar you spend on email generates $50 in return or something. So there's a clear ROI for customers here as well.
Let me get the time machine fired up, and we'll be right back with Liz for the 2026 Where Are They Now update. All right, Liz, catch us up. It's been 2.5 years. What's the current state of the email marketing membership? I think where we left off, you were around 4,500 members with the stated goal to get to 10,000. What's been going on there?
Listen, so for the last 2.5 years, I have been stuck at 4,500 members inside EMM. No, they've come, they've gone, and I've gotten really sick of saying 10,000, 10,000, 10,000. Mm-hmm. So actually, Nick and I in 2026, we were at the same event, Craft and Commerce, sponsored by Kit, right? And there was somebody on the stage that said, you know, there are two ways to get from A to B. And, you know, you think of a line from A to B on a piece of paper, and you can go that way. And that's what I've been doing to try to get to this 10,000 for so long. I've just been, you know, trudging the line. And then the speaker said, you know, but there's another way. And he folded the piece of paper and he said, now A is touching B and you've skipped the line completely. And that's what I have done in 2026. We've recently like just announced this. So early 2025, again, I got really sick of trudging that line, going that line. I want my 10,000 members so bad. I've been working at it now for 5.5 years. And so I got with the one, the only, Pat Flynn, and I offered to buy his business. And from some, I don't know, act of God.
That's a bold offer. Can we pause on that? Yeah.
It's a bold, bold offer. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes. Whew. I'm getting heated just thinking about it. And it was a long time ago. And for some reason, you know, we had talks and for some reason he said yes. And so now I am the official owner of Smart Passive Income. And part of the really big part of why I purchased SPI was to flip that sheet of paper, to get from A to B very, very quickly, instead of trying to build my audience organically or even spend money on ads to build the audience. What if I just bought the business that already has the audience?
Yeah, and the exact people that you're trying to reach.
Right, right. So that's what I've been up to at the time of this recording for the last about 10 months, just working on weaseling my way into smartpassiveincome.com.
Well, congrats. I mean, that's huge. And so Pat is going to be all Pokemon all the time now?
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with Pat outside of, you know, him teaching entrepreneurship and his podcast, he has a very large YouTube channel, actually two of them, I think combined at the time of this recording, over 5 million subscribers. And how we got hooked up was, you know, I had been on his podcast, you know, we knew each other in passing. We met at Kit's conference in 2025 officially. But my sister was working for him on the Pokemon side. And that's how I knew, oh, this guy is really struggling, right? This guy is straddling two ladders. This guy has the gigantic YouTube and the gigantic email list over here. And I heard email list and I was sold, right? So yeah, he's all in on the Pokemon stuff. He's really excited about that. And the same way he's excited and feeling this renewed sense of energy, I'm feeling excited and this renewed sense of energy to get going, find those 10,000 members, really help people not only with email marketing now, but, you know, real smart passive income, figuring out how to intentionally be active with your income so that it can be passive one day. Because that's what I did with my EMM, with my membership. And so Pat felt like I was the perfect fit to take over.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the longest running brands in the online business and entrepreneurship space. I think 2008 maybe is when
you
started.
Yeah, 18 years. Yes,
it's been going forever.
Forever. Yeah, he keeps saying, "Oh, my baby's going off to college." And I'm like, "Now I'm the dean of admissions over here."
Yeah. Okay. So that's one. On the one hand, it's a way to grow your own membership, but it's also a big, big shoes to fill and kind of to fulfill the promise of SPI and continue that legacy.
Yeah, no pressure. And that was something in the talks of, you know, is Liz the one? Should I sell this? And so after a while, it really, you know, became obvious that we did have very similar values. We cared about that early stage entrepreneur that's just trying to make a living, maybe not trying to make a killing, right? Because there's definitely a distinction between who you follow if you're just trying to make it and or if you're trying to, like, you know, really scale and build an empire, right? And so it's been so amazing. And 2026, I've spent the entire year just diving really headfirst into Smart Passive Income and into that audience. I've spent so much time in the inbox answering questions, asking for feedback, running new campaigns to try to get customers into that membership, co-hosting the podcast, which is insane.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know it's something that he's said years and years ago. Oh, it's such a personally branded project. I don't think it would ever be sellable. But the way that you've done it with the
you know, co-hosting the podcast, kind of this long transition period to warm the audience up to you and kind of have this warm handoff. And it's like not sold to, you know, some heartless private equity firm that's trying to, you know, mine as much data or mine as much value out of the existing subscriber base as possible. It's like, look, you're going to be in good hands with Liz.
Yeah, I hope so. And I've, you know, I've received feedback all over the board. Oh, we love Liz. I love her energy. And oh my gosh, I know Pat didn't write this email. What is going on over here? But of course, I would never write an email and sign it Pat if it wasn't Pat actually writing it. So yeah. To those people, I've said, oh, you know, yeah, if you noticed, my name was at the bottom of the email. I like to think of it as a gradient. You know, it was all Pat, then it was Pat and Liz. Now it's all Liz. And, you know, maybe we do another episode in a few years to see how it goes. But for the future, you know, I'm really looking forward to, and what I've been doing over the summer is taking it from Team Flynn to Team Win. And Win stands for what's important now, because I find that a lot of, you know, quote unquote solopreneurs, they have a hard time deciding what is important now. Oh, I need social media. I want to start a podcast. I need to learn editing. I need to learn social, Pinterest, you know, all these things, right? But when you focus on just what's important now, today, you can find those little steps add up to big progress.
Yeah, I think that's an important question to ask yourself. Probably at the end of every day, you know, did I do work that mattered? And then kind of answer for tomorrow. Okay, what's important now? What am I going to tackle tomorrow? I wanted to get your take on kind of the current state of email and the tools and deliverability. Has anything changed over the last couple of years? And I didn't mean to make light earlier of like, oh, I'm still stuck at 4,500 members. Like, that's still an amazing recurring revenue business and like
Absolutely.
Thousands of people to serve month after month. So that's obviously still a killer business. But I did want to get your take on just the current state of email marketing as you see it.
Yeah. So the current state is, in my opinion, it's easier than ever. And it's because of AI, but not the reason you might think. Not because AI makes it easier to write emails. AI is, Pat actually mentioned, he calls it AI sloptimization. And that's how I feel like the inbox has become, and even social media for that matter, right? Like everyone's using AI to write scripts, to, you know, edit, to do this and that, right? And a lot of people are doing that with their email marketing. So it actually becomes easier to stand out. All those things we talked about, you know, in 2024, are even easier to do because everyone else is doing something else. Everyone else sounds the same, has the same formula. Even if you train AI to use your voice, it's still using a cadence, a formula to write your emails. And so if you can just be a human in your emails, make mistakes. Listen, I did a waitlist over the summer, and my first email to the waitlist, the subject line was surprise, but I forgot one of the R's. And
oh,
people started emailing me, Liz, there's a typo. And I went to change it. Oh my gosh, thanks, Nick, for telling me. And I changed it. But then he came back and he said, oh, no, Liz, I actually liked it because I realized that you actually wrote this email. I knew it wasn't AI. And I was, and I went back and I deleted that R. And I was like, yes, yes. So I'm finding in 2026 and beyond, the more human you can be, the less polished. Not that, you know, you shouldn't edit your emails. Of course, I spend more time editing my emails than I do writing them. But the more it's just you and who you are, bringing that personality to the forefront, the more you're going to succeed.
Right, right. Now, aside from going out and acquiring big businesses, what else is working for your members in terms of growing their lists?
Yeah, in terms of growing your list, something that's working really well and is low effort are freebie swaps, right? Nick shares my freebie to his list. I share his freebie to my list. I've done 20 of those in 2026, and I have over 2,100 new subscribers from that. And those subscribers are sticking around, they're staying. Because again, if Nick is sharing me, you have a lot of trust in Nick, that trust transfers. So I'm finding those are really high quality leads without spending a lot of time. And even I've been able to do 20 of them in 8 months because I'm not just making one solo email. Sometimes I'm doing a roundup email. I'm sharing Nick's, Chelsea's, Shahara's, Nahaku's, right? And people are picking and choosing, and it's been really fun. Another creative way I've seen people kind of take this freebie swap and run with it is, let's say I host a landing page on my website and I put a lot of people's freebies up. I put Nick's, I put Chelsea's, I got Shahara, you know, all those people I just listed. And I'm just putting the freebies up and all of us are just in our emails in the PS, by the way, I'm a part of XYZ. You should go check it out. You can grab a bunch of goodies for free. You don't have to even pay, right? And people go to that landing page and they sign up. It's like a simpler bundle, right? And I see that working really, really well for people right now.
That's an interesting one. We'll have to figure out how to do a collaboration on something like that. That sounds
cool.
Yeah,
we should for sure.
Do you have a minute to tell me about your Survivor side hustle?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course.
I heard you made the final four. I've never really watched Survivor, but I understand it's a big deal.
Yeah, so the last time I was on, I was also on a little TV show called Survivor, right? And I ended up getting fourth place. And fourth place, I got to be honest with you, is the worst place you could ever imagine. I would rather be the first person voted out because then at least I got a free vacation. Fourth place means you lasted all but about 18 hours inside the game. It means that you're the last person eliminated. The final three go to the end and they state their case for $1 million, right? So fourth place is kind of a harsh place to be. But that has turned into its own small side hustle for sure. Like, you know, sometimes brands will pay me to make reels. If you Google me, I had a very we'll say public meltdown. And it was over Applebee's of all things. It was over that chain restaurant. And so I've worked with Applebee's in a few different capacities. They've paid me some money. It's been really, really great. And awesome. Then also, if you guys have ever heard of Cameo, it's where D-list celebrities like myself go to make a little extra cash. So you can pay me $46 because I was on season 46 to make a video. And I actually love doing those. Connecting with the fans has been amazing. And just this year, it's end of July, just this year, I've made an additional $5,000 making little happy birthday pep talks, breakup messages, stuff like that. Awesome. It's been awesome.
How funny. Well, yeah, that's super cool. I know it was airing right around the time of the previous episode, so we didn't get a chance to really talk about it because it wasn't, hadn't aired yet. So that's awesome. Fourth place. Congrats on that and everything that's come as a result.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time to catch us up and give us kind of the current state of everything that you're working on at LizWilcox.com and now SmartPassiveIncome.com. You can find Liz over there. Big thanks once again to Liz for sharing her insight. Thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. You can hit up SideHustleNation.com/deals. For all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thank you for supporting the advertisers that support the show. Maybe Applebee's will be next. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share with a friend. Fire off that text message. Let them know to check it out. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.